What if I told you that God could be seen in the most ordinary things every day? That if we just took a break from the busyness of our lives to just stop and look around, to consider the things that we encounter all the time and overlook, the lessons that we would learn from our children and in our homes, our families. What if I told you that everyday ordinary events could teach us extraordinary eternal truths? Would you believe me? Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Set Your Mind Above podcast. I'm your host, BJ Seip. I am a Christian, a preacher, a husband, and a father. In this podcast, we take everyday, ordinary events and explore how they can teach us extraordinary eternal truths. I'm so glad that you have joined me for this episode. Now, let's open up our minds, our hearts, and our Bibles together. Before I introduce my next guest, I have someone else very special to introduce to our listening audience. Please welcome my daughter, Finley Grace Seip, into the world. Finley was born this past Friday morning, September 9th, at 6:01 a.m. in Danville, Kentucky. She was 7 pounds, 4 ounces, and 19 inches long. Both mama and baby are doing fantastic. I want to thank you all so much for your prayers for a healthy delivery and baby. All of them were answered. I could not be more grateful than I am now. So before I go back to cuddling up with my 3 children and enjoy my paternity leave, I want to now introduce you to someone else who is very special to me. And he is our guest speaker today. Scott Beyer has been a dear friend and mentor of mine for, goodness, probably 17 years of my life now. I met Scott when I was around 15 years old, back when he and his wife Jenna still lived up in Washington with their daughter Holly. Fast forward 17 years, they now have 7 children, that's right, 7, you heard that right, and have moved to Louisville, Kentucky to work with the Eastland Church of Christ. I love it. 2 Pacific Northwest guys carving their way in Kentucky together. Time would fail me to properly share all of the things about Scott and his family that I would like, so I'll take my best shot at keeping this brief. You will be hard-pressed to find more Christ-like people than the Beyers. They are loving, generous, hospitable, thoughtful, kind, and gracious to all. They are treasures not only to my wife and me, but also to our children who have fallen in love with their children. Almost once a week, my daughter Ava or my son Dane will ask us if we can go see the Beyers. I'm inclined to say yes as often as I can, because I cannot think of better people for my children to be around. As you will soon discover in a few moments, Scott is a master teacher. His ability to take complex and important topics and communicate them in a way that anybody can understand is so special. Scott runs BibleGrad.com, where you can take video Bible courses at different levels to help equip you in your faith. It has over 1,250 students and counting. I love Scott for so many reasons, and not just because he is as invested in a good cup of coffee as I am. I love Scott because of his love for Jesus and how it is so clearly seen through his love for people, including me and my family. I am honored and blessed to have him fill in this week. I don't say this lightly, but this episode that he has recorded for us today, it has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts I have ever listened to. I hope that you take as much from it as I have. So, Without any further delay, Scott, the floor is all yours.
My name is Scott Beyer. I preach for the Eastland Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and I run a website called BibleGrad.com. I've been blessed to be friends with BJ for years, and I'm honored to be a guest speaker while he takes a well-deserved sabbatical to enjoy his family and newborn daughter. I have an old, worn-out copy of a fiction book that sits on my bookshelf. I read it when I was a boy until it was dog-eared, kind of made my way back to reading it again as a teenager, and then since then I've read it as an adult and even read it to my kids. The book is called Where the Red Fern Grows by Wilson Rawls, and I'd recommend it to anybody. The book's about a boy named Billy and two red-boned coon hounds named Old Dan and Little Ann, and it is full of everything every little boy could ever want. Barefoot kids tramping through the Ozarks hunting for coons, wading through rivers, and chopping down trees with your own axe. These are the kinds of things that appealed to me as a kid. But somehow it wormed its way into my heart in other ways, too, that have affected me over the years. Something very sweet and real and profound about a book. I don't know if you have a favorite book, you probably know exactly what I mean. Some books just have a way of getting to you. But at one point in the book, Billy has to catch a raccoon to use that raccoon to train his hounds how to hunt, which isn't an easy thing. It's almost a circular logic to it. He needs a raccoon so he can catch a raccoon. And in the end, his grandfather teaches him a trick, which I have researched and found actually really works. To catch a coon, you drill a hole in a log, you drive some nails in at the edges, and place a ball of tinfoil in at the bottom of the hole you've drilled. See, it turns out raccoons love shiny things, and when they see the tinfoil, they will open their paw, snake it in, and grab the tinfoil. But with a balled up fist, they won't be able to get their paw back out past those nails. So they're left with two choices. Drop the tinfoil and escape, simple enough, or hold on and face the hunter. Raccoons are just too attached to the shiny aluminum to let it go, it turns out. Because though raccoons are quite clever, they're also a little short-sighted. And folks, I think about that tinfoil and that raccoon almost every day of my life. Solomon once said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. There is a lot of tinfoil in my life, and I suspect there may be some in yours too. And to make matters worse, not only is there tinfoil in our life, these things that have no meaning but we won't let go of, everyone's trying to sell us more tinfoil too. Get a better car or a larger house or the newest, most cutting-edge telephone. You got to keep up with the latest fashions or the newest shows on TV that everybody's going to be talking about or the latest restaurant that everybody's eating at. There is a reason that we as human beings feel so driven all the time. But maybe, just maybe, all of us should take a beat and ask who is doing that driving. I don't think it's God. In Philippians, Paul talks about those whose end is destruction and their God is their belly. Sounds like that raccoon to me. What happens to me when I become caught up in all that shiny stuff? It doesn't lead me to happiness, and it doesn't lead me to Jesus. It leads me instead to a new God called consumption. My end is destruction, just like that clever and short-sighted raccoon. Paul then continues in the very next verse to say, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I love that idea. I love what Philippians 3:20 says, that idea of being a citizen in heaven. I love the idea that I can set my mind above and that Jesus is my Savior. But there is one word in that verse that I really don't like too much. And that word is await. Await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to get past the tinfoil is to learn to await, because the real stuff, the heavenly stuff, is going to be a little bit of a wait. For those listeners that don't know me, I've got 7 kids. That is a number of children, which when I say it out loud, most people think they misheard me and ask me to say it again. And I will tell you that when you have 7 kids, they all have to learn to wait, because I'm busy and my wife is busy and it probably ain't gonna be your turn for a while. See, waiting is a skill in life that my kids have had to learn. And let me tell you what waiting isn't. Waiting doesn't look like bugging me every 2 minutes, or whining and groaning under your breath the whole time, or picking on somebody else because you're bored and you're frustrated. It also doesn't look like trying to cut in line so you can get your thing taken care of sooner. Do you know what waiting looks like? Waiting looks a lot like contentment. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul will say in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." Tinfoil living is when I'm not content. I need more stuff or experiences or attention so that I can fill a void. Contentment is the exact opposite. It's when I am just at peace with where things are right now. It's a really good companion of joy. Contentment lets you be at peace with where you are so you can enjoy where you are. Do you know that studies show that after about $60,000 a year, income increase above that doesn't make any measurable positive impacts on the quality of life? It turns out that watching a sunset looks just as pretty from my house as it does from Warren Buffett's or Bill Gates. You know what does make a measurable impact, though, on your general happiness and joy? Service. Putting time and energy into others. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he was right. And if we live by faith, we know he's right and we live like he's right and we trust him. Ephesians 2:10 says we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Find someone to buy lunch for and then tell them Jesus loves them. Give the tinfoil away. Find a neighbor, mow their grass, read a book to your kid. Or if you're BJ, take a break from podcasting to hold your newborn. Visit the elderly. Give lavishly. Write someone a nice note. Take the directory. Pray for a family in the congregation each day. Believe me, when you start giving the tinfoil away and finding contentment and service, the whole thing starts to make sense again. Because remember, Solomon said, it's all vanity. And Paul warned against the god of your belly. And Jesus, he told us to enlighten our eyes and find the blessing in giving. Set your mind on the things above. The view's better in that direction.
Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode. And I would invite you back every Tuesday for a brand new episode each week. If you haven't already, be sure to find us on Facebook for occasional announcements and special video sessions. If you have benefited from this podcast, please, if you're able to, be sure to share it with someone else that you think could benefit from it as well. Until next time, know that I love you, that God loves you, and may we all, each and every day, set our minds above. Maybe we're lost in what we want, not what we need. Everything.
everything is never enough. Takes you away from what you love. Maybe we're not supposed to try everything. The ironies of life hurt so hard. Sometimes it makes me laugh. Sometimes the real thing is better than the photograph. The hellos and goodbyes and so longs and don't cries remind me of what I lack. And all the expectations have become a burden hanging on my back. Maybe we're not supposed to try everything. Maybe we're lost. What we want, not what we need. Everything is never enough. Takes you away from what you love. Maybe we're not supposed to try everything. Try everything. Maybe we're lost.